Well, hey, y'all, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I want you to take a minute and visit stewardship.com and check the amazing deal on the starter special. For only $47, you'll receive books, audio, and video lessons to help you get started making a plan for your money. It includes over $160 worth of products. And did I mention, it's only $47, so go to stewardship.com for all the details.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. My name is Chris Brown, and I am your host. Honored to be with you today. I want to start off our show today with an incredibly encouraging verse, and it's Proverbs 18:10. It says, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." So I don't know if you feel like you're in torment or you're in trouble or you're just not feeling it. But here's the deal. I don't know where you're running to, subconsciously or consciously, but the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18 and several other verses throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that that's where we should be running to. So before you do anything the rest of the day, if you feel unsettled in your spirit, I am begging you, pull the car over, take time out, 5 minutes, and just recalibrate. Run to Him. He is safe. He is a fortified tower. So let me encourage you that way as we get started. Now, we have taken some of our best tools for your money and bundled them together in what's called the Starter Special. It's over $160 worth of resources for only $47. It's available this week only. Find all the details at stewardship.com. Well, this is a call-in show for those of you who are new to listening in. The number is 866-357-3283, and you call in with your questions or your testimonies, or maybe it's just a comment. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And first on the line, we've got a call coming in from Wichita, Kansas. This is Ryan. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I've had a question. Recently, my father had passed away on Christmas Day this last year.
Sorry.
And to surprise me, he had apparently put aside some money that I was fully unaware of. And my question was, is my wife and I have been working really hard over the last 5 years to really live conservatively and more than anything, get out of debt. I quit investing into my profit sharing. I quit trying to do any extra money-making techniques besides reducing our amount of spending. And I've gone to a full-out trying to pay off every bit of debt. And I'm happy to announce that we're completely debt-free with the exception of our mortgage.
Good job.
As of last month.
Very good. That's fun.
Well, we had incurred a lot of different things. And with a changeover with her employer, she's a kindergarten teacher and has been for about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with the changeover, we had switched her employer insurance, and they didn't cover her for her last birth of our last child. And so we had to pay a lot of that out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And that really put a dent in our savings. But either way, it put us far in the debt, so we worked really hard to get paid off.
Well, good job.
My next question is to be completely debt-free.
Yeah.
Would it be wise to take this inheritance that just kind of came upon us and use it and pay off our house? Get rid of it.
How much is it?
The inheritance or the house?
Inheritance.
The inheritance was right around $280,000.
Well, that's a nice surprise.
Yeah, I had no idea it was even there. And my question is, should I use it or continue to leave it in a mutual fund account and let it grow, or should I use that money and pay off our house and then kind of reinvest back into it now that I'm not paying the mortgage lender all the interest?
That's a great question. Okay, so you don't have any savings at all?
Now that we are debt-free, with the exception of our mortgage, we're putting as much as we can in the savings now.
Okay, and how much is the balance?
Right now I have about $17,000.
Okay, and what's your income?
my income is right around $42,000 a year, and my wife is right around the same too because she's a teacher.
Okay. All right, good. So you're effectively on baby step four. Are you doing any investing?
Honestly, I haven't done any investing since we really incurred a lot of that debt. I figured it was silly to invest money when I'm spending all this money on interest.
Yeah, well, you haven't been in position.
All our debt.
Yeah, you haven't been in position. You probably shouldn't have been, so that's good. So how much is it to pay off the house?
Right around $170,000.
Okay. And do you have any kids?
I am expecting my fourth child in April.
Oh, cool. And what are their ages?
I have twin boys that are 5 years old, and then I also have a young boy. He's 21 months old.
Okay, and so the inheritance is...
one coming.
That's great. The inheritance is in a... so you said mutual fund account.
Correct. It's been mostly mutual funds and bonds.
Okay.
And I went ahead and cashed out the bonds because they had ran their course, and they're just sitting in the account now as cash.
Gotcha.
Just in case we were to need it.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I would do. I would pay out the house personally, and then I would speak to one of our ELP investment professionals that you can find at stewardship.com, and I would ask how you want to – I would take some of this, and depending on the fees and the fees and taxes and how that – you're going to want to talk to them because this is very complicated. But I would want to make sure that I put some of that in a fund for college. If you want to fund college, some parents want to and some don't. If you don't worry about it. But you got four kids that are going to be going to college one day, and I don't want you to go $400,000 in the debt when they go to college.
Right.
So make sure you're thinking through that. There are very tax advantage, advantageous things that you can do, like the ESA and the 529 plans. So you want to think through that. So are you familiar with our baby steps at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you Financial Peace University, the DVD home study. I'm going to give that to you. So as soon as we hang up, it's going to walk you through the baby steps. Everything I'm coaching you through is going through baby steps. Okay. So it's making sure that you have enough savings, that you're out of debt, make sure that you start your investing, and then you worry about college funding, and then you worry about your primary residence, and then you kind of go from there. Okay. So this will give you a lot of clarity on the benchmarks and a lot of clarity on the structure of everything I'm telling you right now. But so the remainder balance that you have is about $110,000. And I want to make sure that an investment professional walks you through which instruments that needs to go to, whether it be a traditional IRA, which is probably the first thing I'd recommend. If you convert over to a Roth, you're probably going to have to pay taxes for the conversion. So I don't want you to pay those taxes out of the actual investment. I only want you to convert to a Roth. And this is for all of our listeners. I only want you to convert to a Roth. If you have outside money, you can pay the taxes for the conversion. So I'm thinking a traditional IRA, or maybe some more advantageous mutual funds. I want to make sure those are actually, it's a good mutual fund account. So that's why I want you to talk to them. But I think if I had this and I was in your scenario, how old are you?
I'm 34.
So. Yeah, I would pay off the house. I'd pay off the house.
That's my thing. And every time I look at my escrow balance and I look at my principal versus interest rate, it's almost crazy to look at that and say I'm paying $980 in interest every month.
Yeah, and this is what this will allow you to do is you won't have any payments for the rest of your life. And please don't go buy a bigger house because now you can quote unquote afford it.
No.
Don't do that. You can go buy a bigger house when you have cash to do it. But I just think you're going to be able to invest at a much more accelerated rate, not having any payments in your life. So that's what I would do. Yeah. Talk to an ELP professional, go to stewardship.com, click on ELP, and they will. And the reason why I want you to click on them is because they're going to be more interested in customer service and teaching you about this stuff than selling you something and some kind of high commission salesy kind of feel. It's going to be more teaching you. And that's why we really recommend them. So ELPs at stewardship.com. I love the fact that we're watching right before our eyes, folks. You're listening in and you're hearing a reality of Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that is exactly what is happening. That fourth child of yours is going to have a better life. And I'm not just talking about tangible things. I'm talking about a life of margin, a place where they can actually contemplate the Creator, be able to think through spiritual things, because there's not going to be this bondage. It's two generations down. because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That is what we want to do. We want to leave a legacy, and that's what your parents did. So thank you so much for the call, Ryan.
Thank you. I appreciate the advice.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, I've got an email here from Dan. It says, I love your podcast. Kudos to you and your team for putting together a quality show. My dad passed away 4 years ago, and he did all the finances. Since his death, I've been handling most of my mom's finances for her. She's in pretty good financial shape with a paid-for house worth $185,000, $335,000 in savings, and monthly retirement income of $3,250 per month. My question is, that's a pretty good position, by the way. My question is about the $335,000 in savings. All of it is stored in a money market account or short-term CDs, which I call certificates of depreciation or depression. I've considered talking to my mom about putting some in mutual funds, although her health isn't the best, so part of me wants to keep it liquid. Or keep it available, if you're not familiar with that term. The other question is about her giving. My dad only gave $100 a month to their church, so that's why my mom has continued to do that. Should I encourage my mom to give more to get to a full tithe, 10%, or let her come to that conclusion on her own? Lots of good questions here. I would encourage her to move things to a mutual fund. The only hesitancy I have is if you think that she's probably going to live less than 5 years, it might not be worth, well, you know what, because it's going to probably be passed down to you, even if she were to live less than 5 years, I would move that stuff over, as soon as possible. So I would, again, talk to one of our ELPs about how to do that well in the most tax advantageous way. And then about the giving, yes, I would start having those conversations with her. About that. Make sure she's not doing it because of some kind of legalistic thing, but make sure that she really understands the why behind tithing. And if anyone needs to know the why behind tithing, there's a great resource that we have at stewardship.com called The Legacy Journey that kind of breaks that down for you. And also, I've written several articles at stewardship.com that talk about the tithe and break that down for you. So make sure you check that out as well. Well, we all have great intentions to manage our money well, but it's all too easy to let those impulse decisions mess up our money plan. And just remember, it's important to get back on track as soon as possible to stop the bleeding. And to help you, our team has bundled some of our best tools in the Starter Special at stewardship.com. The Starter Special includes over $160 worth of products for only $47 this week. And so there's lots of great stuff in there. You want to check that out at stewardship.com.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. From your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, next call coming in from New Orleans. This is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I am doing very well. How can I serve you?
I have a question for you today. I'm working on the seven baby steps of Dave Ramsey, and step one was taken care of, and I've actually taken care of step four, which is investing 15% in my 401k. I'm putting in 10%, my employer's putting in a matching 5. Step two and three we haven't covered yet, and my question is, if I want to pay off debt, should I reduce my contribution to my 401k maybe down to 5% so I still get the 5% match? Now, the question gets a little more complicated because my debt is really low interest. It's two car notes and another home improvement loan, all at 0 to 1%. So I'm not sure if I should, you know, reduce that 401k to pay off that debt. Should I consider that like cash because it's at the low interest rate? And also, I'm kind of wanting to put money into the market right now because hopefully it will be a good investment.
Oh, Craig, I'm so glad you're asking this question because I think there are a lot of people out there that would ask a very similar question, because there's lots of things going on here. And let me pull up a little bit and answer this from a macro level. When you think of steps, I want you to think of them in linear, like in a linear format. So when you're going up the stairs, I want you to go one step at a time, not three steps and then go back one, and four steps and then go back one. You're going through Financial Peace University and you're kind of getting it, but you're actually not getting it. And the steps are crucial. And I know it doesn't make sense to your logical mind if you think through math. If you're just thinking mathematically, you know, this isn't a math thing. This is more of a behavior thing. So here's my advice to you. And you're going to combat it a little bit internally, but I'm telling you, this has helped over 4 million people get out of debt. And here it is. I say, no, you shouldn't reduce your investing from maybe 10% or to 5, or if you're listening in, to 20, mm-hmm. down to 15, you should reduce it down to 0. You shouldn't be investing at all. You're doing it out of order. And I know you're like, oh no, but I can make 8 or 9% over here, and I can buy maybe at a low, but I'm only paying 1 or 2% over here. This is not an interest rate thing. If you were to play out all those interest things, you're talking about maybe a $500 difference this year. Okay. And that's like shooting high. I don't even know your amounts, but this is not an interest thing. This is get the debt out of your life thing. And then you can invest even more. So let's make sure that you got baby step 2 completely finished before you even start toying around with baby step 4. And I just went from 2 to 4. There's a 3 in the middle. You got to make sure you have 3 to 6 months of emergency fund, because here's the deal. If you start investing now, emergency comes, maybe not even emergency, but a major purchase that needs to happen. And now you're going to swipe and you go back into debt. So that's the reason why we want to get out of debt, have emergency fund, then start doing the investing. And then I like your mentality. I like the, hey, listen, it's a good time to buy on sale. Totally get it. But I want to implore you. I want to beg you. And those of you, and this is not just about Craig, many of you out there are going to be really tempted to buy it low. I'm telling you, you've got to get out of debt first. So I know that's not exactly what you wanted to hear, but let's...
No, I think it's a good recommendation. My only one question back to you is, I'm putting in 10%, and my employer's matching up to 5.
I know. That's why it's crucial that you get out of debt as soon as possible, because that matching thing is amazing. Okay. That's like a blessing from heaven. That is like free money. And so I want you to take advantage of that as soon as you possibly can. But right now, you can't. You got to get out of debt first. How much debt do you have?
I have 2 car notes that are each about $12,000, and then a home improvement on an air conditioner is about $5,000. So,
okay, so you got $29,000, about $30,000. And how much do you make?
I make roughly about $190,000.
$190,000?
Mm-hmm.
Craig, you should be out of debt by the end of the... maybe the end of the month, definitely by the end of the quarter. You got to reduce your lifestyle, get all that paid by the end of the quarter, and then by next quarter you're investing. And I do the you're not investing yet. You got to do the emergency fund first. But by June you're investing. You've got a huge income, and you've got too much of that logical math side of your brain first. Let's get rid of the debt first. Let's get that out of your life, and then you're about to... How old are you?
I'm 51.
All right. Well, be prepared. You're about to get very, very wealthy. Just make sure you get out of debt first and don't go back into debt again, and then you're ready to rock.
Okay.
All right,
well,
Craig?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Got an email here from Lucy. She says, Chris, I have a 19-year-old who's in college and has a part-time job and has managed to save $2,000. Now, he has no debt whatsoever and likes to pay for everything with cash. He would like to start investing some of his money so that it can earn compound interest over time. What would you recommend he do now to invest his money at his age? Well, I want to applaud the focus in on compound interest. It is the 8th wonder of the world, Einstein says. It is an amazing asset to us, and I love the fact that he's already thinking that way. However, in his current season, my hunch is that he's going to have at least $2,000 worth of things pop up in his life in the very near future. So I don't think he needs to invest that money. He needs to first build up 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings so that, anything that pops up in his life, he has that. So that's to be his first and foremost thing he needs to do. And then secondly, when it comes time to invest, after he's done the 3 to 6 months of expenses, I would have him invest either in, if he's working full time at that point, in a matching program with a 401k or a 403b, or if he doesn't have that, to invest into a Roth IRA, which is a maximum of $5,500 a year. And if he did just that over the next, 50 years when he retires, he is going to be a very, very wealthy man because he will be taking advantage of compound interest over a lot of time. But very good email, Lucy. All right, next on the line, we got Jose. He's calling in from Austin, Texas. Jose, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I barely start to listening to Dave Ramsey, and I heard you with him sometimes.
Yeah.
And, I have a question. I bought a house before I start listening to him and everything, and I don't know if I went too high on it.
Okay.
I make $87,000 a year.
Okay.
And, I don't know if I should go to a 15-year fixed mortgage. I have a 30-year right now with the 4.25 interest rate. I don't know if I should sell it and rent or...
Okay. What's the mortgage amount?
It's like $1,435.
Okay. And what's the home value?
$175, I think, was the value when I bought it. Right now, it should be around $180, $185.
And do you have any other debt?
I have like $10,000, $5 on my truck and $5 on a credit card.
And are you currently investing?
No, nothing.
Good. You shouldn't be. I was just asking to make sure. I wanted to clear that up. Right now, until your debt's gone, you shouldn't be investing. Mm-hmm. And your monthly income's right around probably $6,000 take home?
Yeah, around there.
And your monthly payment's $1,435. All right. So the rule is, the rule that we like to say is that your mortgage payment, which includes your, you want to include your principal, your interest, your taxes, and your insurance all together should not be any more than 25% of your monthly household take home.
Okay.
So you're taking home six and you're at $1,435. So if we do that math, let's see here. You want to be below $1,500 and you are at $1,435. So it's not too much to hide. However, we do have to think through, you want to go down and you want to talk to a mortgage office and ask, what would a refi do for me? Could I get 3.1? And that would be pretty significant. And when you go to refi, you probably won't be able to qualify with the 25% rule. You won't qualify for the 15-year. So you only are below that 25% mark because you did a 30-year.
Okay.
If you were to do a 15-year, which we recommend, then you would not qualify. So therefore, you probably did buy too much house.
Okay.
So here's what you can do. Go look at refi options. Know what your options are.
Uh-huh.
Or you can keep it where it's at and then just make an extra payment or an extra two payments whenever you can throughout the year, whenever there's a bonus or you work overtime. But if the refi is going to cost a fortune and you're never going to make up for what the refi cost you, then don't refi. And if you're only going to live in that house for like a year or two more years, you're probably not going to recoup the cost of the refi. So as of right now, I would look at refi options, number one. And number two, while you're looking at those options, I would try to see if you can make a payment or two extra every year so that you will, in a sense, pay it off in 15 years. It's a 30-year mortgage, but because of your behavior, you're going to pay it off early.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I actually just wrote an article, Jose, on stewardship.com, which is our website, that is entitled, Is Your House Too Big for Your Budget? And it talks a lot about everything I just said. So just for some more clarity, that might be good for you and for our listeners.
Okay.
Well, that wraps up today's show. Listen, folks, we're trying to partner with you the best we can to walk you through this journey. And we pray that you've been encouraged in the process. So from books to audio lessons to Dave Ramsey's Dumping Debt DVD video lesson, you do not want to miss these items in the starter special for only $47 at stewardship.com this week. Please don't rely only on the radio show. We want to partner with you And we want to make sure that we put resources in your hands so we don't not just telling you to do these things, we're actually teaching you how in a real practical way. And while you're there at stewardship.com, make sure you sign up for our weekly email that sends hope and it sends encouragement straight to your inbox. We want to make sure that we walk you through you leaving a legacy. Folks, it has been a pleasure. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.